That's a good idea. Excellent idea.
So Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking the people. And he says to them, we're going to pick it up today in verse 7, chapter 9, verse 7, in the middle of the third reading of Parshas Ekev. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zechor al tishkach, Eis asher hikzavto as Hashem alekecha bamidbar. Remember, do not forget how you repeatedly angered Hashem in the desert. L'min hayeim asher yetzosa mi'eretz Mitzrayim. From the day that you left the land of Egypt, you rebelled against God. Ad bayechem ad mokem hazeh. Till you came until this place, hamokem, this place. Mamrim hayisim im Hashem. You were rebellious with Hashem. So that's a general statement, and that actually covers 40 years. It starts with going out of Mitzrayim, and it concludes with where they're standing right now. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you have repeatedly angered Hashem. You've done all kinds of bad things. In verse 8, Moshe Rabbeinu turns his attention specifically towards the golden calf. Uvechedev, which is another name for Mount Sinai, hiktzaftem es Hashem. At Chedev, you angered Hashem. Vayis'anev Hashem b'chem l'hashbedeskem. Hashem was so incensed that he wanted to destroy you. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is going to begin to recall this. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu first give a general statement? He talks about the whole 40 years, from when he left Mitzrayim up until this point. And then he starts getting into the details and he says, and in Chedev, that's where you really angered Hashem and he wanted to destroy you. So the Sefarno says the answer to this question can be found in verse 13. If you take a look later on, the Torah says, V'hine am k'shei erifur. We'll get to this soon. I'm just going to look inside. At the end of verse 13, it says, and you, behold, you are a stiff-necked people. In other words, that this was the most graphic example of the stubbornness that the Jewish people had exhibited during their time that was spent going from Mitzrayim, coming up to this point. So because this was the most graphic example of that stubbornness, that's why we're going to focus on it specifically now, because it's the most graphic.
So when he started the book of Deuteronomy, he sort of didn't attack them straight on. He sort of alluded to them.
That's right.
So why is he now...
This was mentioned the places.
This was,
so why is he now...
He worked his way in.
Warming them up.
Should have been slowly, like very, very slowly but surely. There's a famous story told about Rabbi Shalom Gordon, Olav Shalom. He was one of the first shluchim ever sent into Newark, New Jersey. So he gave, in the beginning, he was a very young man, and he gave these scathing sermons, and they were not working at all. And he went to the Friedrich Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe sent him. He told the Friedrich Rebbe, I'm yelling at them. But it's really important things. They're violating all these things, and it's not working. It's backfiring. So the Friedrich Rebbe said, you know, in the Schwitz, take a guy into the Schwitz, and you warm him up. And then you go a different, I've never been in a Schwitz, but apparently there's like different levels. Like it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. Right? So you take him up, you warm him up a little, then you warm him up more. And then when they reach the highest level of the intense Schwitz, then they have bezemes. They have these brooms or something, or they hit you, they zets you. And then you place it, you hit him. And then the guy says, ah, it's a machaya, ah. He said, if you go over to somebody in the street, they start hitting you with a bezem, it will punch your lights out. But first, if you warm him up, then you warm him up more. You warm him to the highest level of heat, and then you hit him. Then he says, "I'm a chaya. Give me more." So first, the Rebbe said, first you have to warm them up, and you have to engage them, and you have to speak to them with a warmth and a passion and a fervor about Yiddishkeit. And you take him to the highest level. So then, when you hit him, then they'll say thank you. So perhaps this is the same methodology Moshe Rabbeinu employs. This is not going to be a complimentary session. They know that this is not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu just telling them how great they are. It's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu giving them faults. But he starts off just alluding to it. And the rebuke becomes more intense as we go on. And he's now Moshe Rabbeinu is really hitting hard now. This is, remember, he's well into his second address here now.
The plates is coming out.
The plates is coming out, right? So he's saying that, that's what the Sefarno says. This is the main thing is that because this was the Midas Kashius Arpam, because it wasn't the only time Hashem said Lahashmido. But this was the stubbornness. The stubbornness was unbelievable over here. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu now is recounting the story. Ba'aleisi ha'hara, when they went up the mountain, Lakachas Luchas Havana, take the tablets of stone. Luchas Habris, the tablets of the covenant. People call it the Decalogue. Ashakaras Hashem Imochem, that Hashem had quite literally cut with you. Va'eshev Bahor Arboim Yoim, Va'arboim Loilam. I remained on the mountain, or literally, I sat on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights. Lechem le'achalti, I did not have any nourishment, literally did not eat bread. Umayim le'shosisi, and I did not drink any water. So there was no nourishment. Moshe Rabbeinu was unnourished, and yet he remained there for 40 days and 40 nights with no material, physical nourishment, and ultimately he's going to come down and things are not going to be very well. So here's the question. Why does it say that I sat there for 40 days? If you don't need to eat and drink, why do you have to sit? People sit to relax, to rest. How long could you stand for? Now, the truth is, you'll see in tomorrow's lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu uses a different terminology when it comes to remaining in the mountain later on. He does use the word standing. And we're going to talk about the difference between sitting and standing. But the fascinating insight from the Rebbe's father about this. But at any rate, what is the literal meaning? How do you understand this? In a Pshutish or Mikra level, why does Moshe Rabbeinu emphasize the concept of the Eshev Bahar that I sat on the mountain?
He's learning Torah. Yeshiva is sitting.
Okay, so Rashi says, the question is obvious, right? So what's the answer? Why does it say the Eshev? So Rashi says, Ein Yeshiva Ela Akava. Yeshiva means to remain. Like, you know, sit down, make yourself comfortable, stay a while. You're not leaving so fast. So Moshe says, I remain, I stayed put. That means I sat. It's not about physical posture. It's not about Moshe Rabbeinu relaxing. It's about Moshe Rabbeinu being in a holding pattern. He remained put. He stayed there for 40 days. Okay. So now we understand this business of Eshev. We know why he was sitting over there. And we'll see. We'll talk about this tomorrow. There's a Machlekes in the Gemara and Megillah on Daf Chaf Aleph. Side A, the Gemara has a whole discussion why it says Va'eshev and what that might possibly mean, and why later on in the 10th chapter of the 10th verse it says differently than the 10th chapter of the 9th verse. Here it says, in the ninth chapter of the 9th verse, it says Va'eshev. In the 10th chapter of the 10th verse, it says they use the word Amadati. But we will get to that tomorrow. Va'yitan Hashem Elai, Shnei Luchos Ha'avanim. God gave me the two stone tablets. So Moshe Rabbeinu has already mentioned the stone tablets twice. In verse 9, he mentions the stone tablets twice. I went, he says, Lakachas, to take the stone tablets. And he called them Luchas Habris, the tablets of the covenant. In verse 10, he mentions here that Hashem gave him the tablets of stone, which are Ksuvim be'etzba elikim, inscribed with the finger of God. Va'alehem, and upon them, Kichol advarim ashadib Hashem imachem, all the other things which Hashem had spoken to you, Bahor, b'teich, ha'esh, v'yem, ha'kohol, that Hashem had spoken to you on the day of assembly. Which is the day of assembly? The first Hakil? That's Matan Torah. So that's what Hashem spoke to you at the day of assembly. But doesn't that mean the same words that are written on it? What is the addition by saying, I gave the tablets of stone, which are written in the finger of Hashem, kichol advarim, like all the things which Hashem spoke to you. So first of all, quite literally, all of the words of Aseres Hadibris were written on the two luchas. And of course, the two luchas were written in an openly miraculous fashion, because even though both tablets were exactly the same size, and even though there are many, many more words on the first luach, on the first tablet, than there are on the second, nonetheless, the size of the letters, the spacing between the lines, the spacing, the margins, everything was perfectly identical. The two luchas were identical luchas. Two identical luchas. So Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes the idea of the luchas. And Rashi says, what does it mean, the business of luchas? Rashi notes that the spelling of the word luchas is not written with two vavs, but lamed vav, and then it says ches tav. There isn't two vavs on either side, which really could be read as luchas. Luchas is chas vav. And Rashi says, luchas ksiv shteyen shoves. They're exactly equal. Exactly equal, which is mamash miraculous, because they couldn't be exactly equal. They contained enormous difference between the two, where the first luchas, the first six commandments or first six mitzvahs are very, very voluminous and use an enormous amount of verbiage, whereas the second luach, the second set of tablets, very, very few words. Just these two-word statements. But luchas, you have two equal luchas. And so, what does it mean, aleihem kechol advarim? On the literal level, it seems it was written, the things Hashem said. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Yotes says that aleihem means all of the drashas chazal, all of the teachings of our sages, with regard to, including even the mitzvahs, the rabbinic mitzvahs, that was also given to Moshe. Everything was given to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was aware of everything, and Balaturim, basing himself on the Talmud Yerushalmi, simply says this is the Talmud. So Moshe Rabbeinu got the whole Talmud. The Talmud was already given to Moshe Rabbeinu during that first 40 days when he received the Luchas. He received it with the essential wisdom of the Gemara too. And so it came to the end of 40 days and 40 nights. Nasan Hashem Elai, Hashem gave me Eshtei Luchas Ha'avanim Luchas Abris. Hashem gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Hashem then said to me, Kum reid maher mizeh. He said, come, stand up, rise up. Reid maher, quickly descend, quickly go down from this. Ki shiches amcha asher hoitseisa mimitzroim. Because your people have become besmirched, they have become corrupt, the nation you took out of Egypt. Saru maher min haderech. They have been quick to turn from the path that I commanded them. Asher tzivisi, asu lehem asecha. They made themselves a molten, and molten kafir, first of all. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets the message, out. You have to leave right now. You cannot remain here anymore. Why? Because your people have become corrupted. Your people have gone away from the path of righteousness. They have created for themselves an idol. But Yomer Hashem Elai, God said to me, Ra'isi Esa'om Azeh, I have seen this nation. Vehinei Am Kshei Erev. Behold, they are a stiff-necked or a stubborn people. So here, this is where, like the Sephardim said, this is why we have this emphasis of the verses here, the story over here, because this was the most incredible demonstration of their stubbornness. Heref me many. Leave me alone, says Hashem. Vashmidem, I am going to destroy them. Ve'emcha es shemam, I will wipe their name or liberate them. Mitachas ha-shomoyim, from under the heavens. Ve'es ha-eischol ha-gagodol, is going to be a replacement theology. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to replace the Jewish people, and they'll be a great nation, Rav Mimenu, much greater, much mightier. That's what Hashem said. That's my plan. And the Torah emphasizes that Moshe Rabbeinu immediately, Ve'efen turned, Ve'edud min Ahari, went down from the mountain, Ve'ahar boyer ba'esh, the mountain is burning, a blazing mountain. Ve'shnei luchas habris al shnei yodei. And the two tablets are my two hands. So, earlier in verse 10, we said Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain to take the luchas. The luchas are referred to twice, as luchas avanim, as stone tablets, and as luchas habris, as the covenantal tablets. In verse 10, it says Hashem gave Moshe the tablets, and describes them, that they were ksuvim be'etz be'alikim. In verse 11, it says, at the end of 40 days, Nasan Hashem Elai, Hashem gave me the Luchas Avanim, and again, calling them Luchas Abris. Mention verse 9, twice. Verse 1, with speaking of their virtue. Verse 10, verse 11, twice, two different names. Verse 12 speaks about the Jewish people and their terrible mistake. Verse 11 speaks about, furthermore, their stiff-necked, stubborn attitude. And verse 14 is replacement. Over. Get rid of the Jewish people. I'm going to have a new people. Verse 15, Moshe Rabbeinu is back to talking about the luchas. Va'efen va'edid minahar. I go down from the mountain. The mountain is smoking. It's on fire. The Sephardim says this emphasizes the sin of the Jewish people. The mountain was still on fire. What does the fire represent? Hashem's presence. They're in front of Hashem's presence. The mountain is on fire, for heaven's sake. Hashem's presence is right there. And they built a... an eagle, worshiping an idol. And Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes in verse 15, Mishnei luchas habris al shtei yodai, the two covenantal stones, the covenantal tablets, on my hands. And now in verse 17, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Va'ere, I look deeply, Ve'hinei Chatosem la'Hashem alekechem. You have sinned very, very grievously against Hashem your God. Asisim lechem egel masecha. You made yourself a molten calf. Sartem ma'ir min aderech. Moshe Ben is really rephrasing the words Hashem said. You have veered quickly off the path. Asher tziva Hashem eschem. So now we have a description. Moshe Ben says, I'm holding the tablets. And Moshe Ben describes what he saw. He saw a federal disaster. So what does he do? So after describing this idea, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Va'eda v'hini chatasim," I look and I see that you have sinned. And Avos de Reb Nosson it says, what did he look? What did he see? He heard from God. It wasn't good enough. What did he have to look? And anyway, he saw from far away. What did he see? So in Avos de Reb Nosson, al derech hadrashi says, he saw the letters of the luchas flying heavenward. He saw the letters leaving. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu could actually see this. Okay? So what does he do? And here comes a fateful moment. In this fateful moment, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Va'esfais, b'shnei haluchas, I grasp the two luchas, Va'ashlichem me'al shtei yodai. I hurl them with all my strength from my hands, through them. Va'ashabrem le'eneim, I shattered them before your very eyes. So, the big question is what's up with the word ve'espois? We talked about these luchas. We've been talking about them just about every verse up to now. We're talking about them and about the virtue and that Moshe Rabbeinu got them and God gave them. And then he says, I held them and I was carrying them and then he has to grasp them. Well, if you're holding them, what do you have to grasp them for? You're holding them already. What did he do? What does this word mean? We know the Torah measures every single nuance. What did the Torah tell us here?
Weren't they weightless until the letters flew up?
So the Yerushalmi in Maseches Taina says that the Jewish people had, once they did this terrible thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to grab the luchas back from Moshe. Once Moshe saw and he said, luchas, Hashem said, I grabbed it back. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrestles as if with God. Imagine there's this wind, this force trying to pull the luchas, and Moshe Rabbeinu is holding on. He's holding on to the luchas. He's not letting Hashem take them back. Gavra Yadish Omeisha Omeisha Kaviyachal overpowers this force, magnetic force that's pulling the luchas. Imagine Omeisha fighting a magnetic force. You picture this. This force pulling the luchas. Omeisha Ben is fighting this force and he pulls them and shatters the luchas. And that says, the Yerushalmi is the meaning of the last words of the Torah, V'lechol HaYadach HaZaka, the whole mighty hand that the Jewish people saw. That's how we finish off the Le'eni Kol Yisrael. L'chol yadach hazaka, the Yerushalmi says, this is Moshe Rabbeinu pulling the luchas as if out of Hashem's grasp and then shattering them. Incidentally, Rashi actually follows the school of thought. Rashi's final words in the Torah is V'ashabrim le'enehem. What's the chol yadach hazaka? What's the mighty deeds? That Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas. That's how the Torah finishes. And that's a subject for another day. The Yerushalmi also seems to indicate that the luchas themselves were trying to go away. It's almost the luchas were disgusted by what the luchas were like a living, breathing stone. And they saw, what the luchas saw what the Jewish people were doing, the luchas were repelled. So the luchas themselves, like a magnetic force, like a magnet pulling, the luchas were like, it's like pulling, and Moshe Rabbeinu is grabbing the stone until he grabbed the stone and he forcefully threw them, and that's how they broke. The Or HaChaim says, initially, the luchas were like above. Moshe Rabbeinu was barely carrying them. Al-Sheikh talks about this also. Like they were like almost like barely, you know, they were like up. Moshe Rabbeinu is like holding them, and they were carrying themselves. Nesis is Atzman. Then after they saw the Egel, the Koyach HaKdusha, the life left from them, the spirit left, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to actually grasp them. He had to like, all of a sudden they fell into his hands. So they were these weightless luchas. It's like carrying helium balloons almost. You know, they're flying up, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, all of a sudden, the letters flew away, as we said, as Avos de Reb Nosson says. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw this, and along with seeing this, the luchas became all of a sudden very heavy. This is what we call dead weight. So the Moshe Rabbeinu grasped them, it shouldn't fall. So we have two different approaches, whether either he grasped them, it shouldn't fly away, or they're falling, he grasps them. But either way, he grasps them. And this is done le'enehem, the Targum Yonason says, that the Jewish people saw this. They saw the luchas shatter. They saw the stone break. They saw the letters flutter heavenward. They saw all of this. Now, what is the point of all this? The point of all this is that the Jewish people should do tshuva. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu did this. The Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu reminds them all these things so they should know that he risked his very life. He was not commanded to do this. And he didn't know what the future would bring. But he did this for the sake of the Jewish people, as we'll soon see. So that's why Ramban says that that's the rebuke over here. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu goes into the details of what he says, what I did, the etfais, I grabbed the luchas. I risked my life. Because I did all this for your behalf, so you should be able to be in some way exonerated or saved. All right, so this is a general overview. And we're now going to study a fascinating rumination from the Rebbe. I guess we'll finish for today. But the Rebbe is going to talk at length about this business of the espois b'shnei haluchas, talk about this business of the grasping of the two luchas. So the Rebbe mentions on page Kuf Chavav in Biuri HaChumash, Simen Yudalad, Hukshu HaMefarshim, the Mefarshim all ask a very similar question. Ma pishra shal tfisa zu? What does this mean? What is this grasping? Hare haluchas hayikvar b'yadav shal Moshe. Weren't the luchas in Moshe's hands? Me'eis shakiblam miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the time he got them from God, they were in his hands. Why did they grasp them again? So we mentioned that what the Aruch Hayim says. I briefly mentioned to you that Al-Sheikh talks about this. Al-Sheikh has a whole long rumination about living, the haluchas were living and making dead weight. And the Shachal HaTorah also discusses this. So we have these, you know, G'dayli HaAchreinim, the greatest of the great, to talk about this question. And here is our Rebbe's take on this. Al HaPasuk Vayitein El Moshe Kechaloisei L'Dabar Itei. On the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, in which we describe that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Luchas when Hashem finished speaking to him, just mentioned, he taught Moshe Rabbeinu Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, the whole Talmud, like the Baal Turim says. It says that Hashem gave him Shnei Luchas Ha'edus. He gave him the two tablets of testimony. Here they're called in Parshas Ekev, the Luchas of the Covenant, Luchas Abris. But earlier in Parshas Kisisa, they're called Luchas Ha'edus, these tablets of testimony. And with regard to God giving Moshe these tablets of testimony, the Gemara in Nedarim, as well as the Medrash Tanchuma and the Medrash Rabba on Parshas Kisisa, all say the same thing. Sha'aluchas nitnu le'Moshe b'matanu. That the Luchas were given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gift. This is a personal gift. Moshe Rabbeinu is gifted the Luchas. Mashmoas hadavar hi, the intimation of this was a gift, is shahaluchas nitnu le'Moshe be'efen ishi, that the Luchas were given to Moshe in a personal way. This was a personal gift. These became the personal effects of Moshe. That's the reward of Moshe Rabbeinu leading the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, bringing them to Har Sinai, going up the mountain, being there for 40 days and 40 nights. Who had the deed? Who actually owned the Luchas? Moshe Rabbeinu.
So he could destroy
it. Moshe Rabbeinu. Benoisev lakach masinu b'medrash. In addition, we also find in the Medrash Tanchuma, and we have a similar, the Gemara discusses this in the Dharam as well, in similar terminology. B'yachas l'luchas ashnias, with regard to the second Luchas. Sha'af al pi shehim nitnil l'meshe. The Gemara says, even though the second luchas were given to Moshe, nog bahem Moshe be'ayin teva. Moshe was very generous. So Moshe's generosity was that he had the luchas that were his when the son of Yisrael. He didn't keep anything for himself. He gave everything away. As it is written, it says, our sages say about Moshe Rabbeinu, nosan milach moy ladol. He gave his own bread away. That was Moshe. He gave his own things. So it was his own sustenance. His own thing, everything gave away. That's a true leader. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Mistaber Efe, the Rebbe reasons that if that's the case with the second Luchas, that the second Luchas belonged to Moshe, and that he gave them away, and that but this was his own generosity, so it's reasonable to suggest, especially based on the statement which is made in the Gemara and Medrash before, that Shekacha Yigam B'Luchas Adashenis. Moshe Rabbeinu also owned the first Luchas. Omnam Heim Nitna L'Moshe K'matana Ishis. Indeed, they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a private gift. How did God give them? To Moshe. As Moshe's. Says, here you are, Moshe Rabbeinu. This is yours. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's intention? To give them to Israel. To give them to Yisrael. That's B'dayta Shal Moshe. Kitza'ad Shal Ayin Teva. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's, so to speak, thrust of his generosity that he right away resolved. He's not going to keep this. He was going to give this. As soon as he got it, I'm going to give this. That was this right away. Initial, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's first blush. Initial thrust was, I will give this to all the Jewish people. Okay, what happens after this? L'achem he came, kishra Moshe has been Yisrael chaitin. Then he sees the Jewish people sinning. Hichlit lishber es haluchas. He made the fateful decision, I will break these luchas. Ela shekan hesedu rabaya. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, the ever halachic Jew, has a problem. Since Moshe Rabbeinu had already intended and resolved that he would give the luchos to the Jewish people, so since he promised to do that, Moshe Rabbeinu's ownership is no longer intact. Why? Because he had already resolved to give it. I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking there's no kinyan.
Right.
So, okay, very good. So in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Peches, we have a very interesting discussion about halacha of Rav Safra, and the way that Rashbam explains it, and he says, quote, a yirah shemayim shegomer belibe lahaknes davar ma in yichesubay. A yirah shemayim, a person who really takes his life seriously, and he takes his responsibility to the Eibushter seriously, when he decides to do something, he would never back out of it. It's like a mini oath, a mini commitment. If he's going to do it, said he's going to do it, resolved to do it, that's it.
Did he say he was going
to
do it?
Doesn't matter. He didn't even. First of all, talk is cheap. If you didn't make a Maisa Kinyan, you could say whatever you want.
He resolved in his head.
Right? But and the truth is, though, talk could earn you what's called a Misha Parah. If you made a verbal agreement that didn't honor your agreement, so he can give you a whole string of curses and say that people don't honor their word, Hashem should deal with them as he dealt with other people who had the rife dishonesty. But that's not the point. The point is, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have nobody. He had nobody to talk to. He didn't say it to anybody. He didn't make an act of kinyan, but himself, he resolved this is what he's going to do. And we see in the Gemara clearly, especially what Rashbam explains, that when a person, who's a Yirah Shamayim, resolves to do something, that's it. You carry through. If you resolve to do it, you're going to do it. Incidentally, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, when it comes to doing an act of commitment, of nedava, of an act of donation, if a person resolves, even if he didn't say it, if you resolve to do it, if you made the decision to do it, really you're supposed to do it. Really, can't say it's halachically binding, really you're supposed to do it. People say, well, it was just a pledge. You know, I was drunk. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm like, my dear friend, it doesn't work like that. You even resolve to do it, already you have an obligation to Hashem. Maybe not a binding obligation, but an obligation. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the perfect Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu, everything was so scrupulous and so exact. So when Moshe Rabbeinu decided he was going to do it, what happened? In some way, to Moshe Rabbeinu, who did the luchas belong to already? In his mind, from his vantage point, B'nai Yisrael, he gave it to them, finished. So Moshe Rabbeinu no longer feels he's a full owner. And therefore, Neitzach Shash, he has a concern. Shema Yesh B'Shvirasim Shom Gezel Momenim SheYisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu feels he needs to do this. There's no option. He must break the luchas. But I don't want to steal. Can't violate the Torah. How can I steal?
Once the letters were gone, were they still luchas?
The physical luchas are still luchas. Moshe Rabbeinu, you give whatever you have.
It's a sapphire.
Doesn't matter. You resolve to do this. How could you steal? How could you take something and belong to somebody else? So because Moshe Rabbeinu operates on such an extraordinary level of honesty, such an extraordinary level of integrity, so hichlit l'meishel levatzeya pa'ula kinyan mechudashes. Moshe Rabbeinu decided he would quickly make a new act of acquisition. He would reacquire them. He grasped them all over again. Okay, so he grabbed them all over, and especially if you take on the way the Yerushalmi says or the Rechaim says that they were like flying everywhere, and he pulled them back where they were falling down, and he lifted them up. That's for sure. You understand? There's a real act of pula of kinyan, and this was all k'dei levatel es machshavdei hakodemes in order to undo his previous thought. Lahashiv la'atzmei es ba'alusei amlei ala luchas. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I will restore my ownership fully. So if it's mine." Then I can go ahead and I can break them without any concern. In other words, this gives us a window into the extraordinary observance of Moshe, into the incredible integrity of Moshe. If the slightest doubt that maybe this wouldn't be honest, nothing to talk about. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to break the luchas. I am going to break the luchas that are written by Hashem in hand, and the luchas which are living, breathing stone. That doesn't bother Moshe, because he has to save the Jewish people. But what does bother him? He can't veer off the path of integrity. Yeah, so frum. He has to keep all the mitzvahs right. So therefore, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a pshat level, a beautiful new understanding of the word the espos. Very briefly.
He's making all this calculation in a split second.
In a split second. And a split second makes all these calculations and acts upon them. Okay, without going through the text inside, because we're really out of time. Very briefly, the Rebbe adds over here a beautiful lesson from the Hasidic perspective. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anoichi Hashem Elekecha. Who was he talking to when he said, Anoichi Hashem Elekecha? How many people were there? Huh? Singular. He's talking to a lot of people. So we have the words of Chazal, which are actually quoted by Rashi in Parshas Yisrei, that Hashem did this in order, Litin Pischem Pela Mesha, Lilamed Saneguria, but Maisha Egel. Mesha Ben should be able to defend the Jewish people. When God will say, how can I give them the Luchas? They went ahead and violated what it said. I told them, La Yilacha Lehim Achedim. Mesha Ben said, he didn't tell them, he told me. He told me. It was singular, it wasn't plural. Lehoya Lehem. Loy Lehem Tzivisa, Mesha Mesha. He didn't command them. Libel Vada, you talk to me. They were just listening in. So, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want the Jewish people to have to be responsible for the breaking of the luchos in any way, shape, or form. He wanted to take this all upon him. It's even though Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there, and he's absolutely blameless. Sometimes you say it's the leader's fault. He wasn't there. He wasn't there because Hashem told him to be there. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu did everything possible to protect the Jewish people, including making sure the luchos were his. So when Hashem says, the Jewish people broke the luchos, Moshe says, no, they didn't do anything. I broke the luchas. They belonged to me. They were mine. I reacquired them. So everything, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to take everything on his account. In order, as we see later, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, forgive the Jewish people, and says, and if not, erase me from your book. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the highest level of self-effacement. Moshe Rabbeinu is the gold standard, the platinum standard, on steroids, of what means true leadership. True leadership is absolute devotion to give away everything for the welfare and for the sake of his sheep, of his flock, of the Jewish people. And this, my dear friends, gives us a little bit, a tiny inkling into the extraordinary greatness of our eternal teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu.
Very
good.
So it's the fact it really wasn't a
count. I wish I could say something.
Because they didn't accept